Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the county administrator for Escambia County, and we got a meeting today, so we're talking to him about what's coming up. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here.
Yeah, great. Great to have you. We got a lot of stuff on the agenda, a lot of very interesting things. Some things I don't understand, and that's why I like to talk to you, because I get clarification on them. But I want to start with one that's really become a sudden firestorm, and that is the company patches for the Escambia County firefighters. I'll tell you how I understand the story, and then you can tell me either what I got wrong or, you know, what I need to understand in order to understand it. The way it was conveyed by the firefighters on their Facebook page is, you know, we've got these company patches that are a very big deal for a paramilitary entity like the firefighters. They're brotherhood, they're bonding, they're meaningful, they're identity expression, they're all the things that we understand. And suddenly, for reasons that nobody can quite explain, all of the trucks, all the engines had to be scrubbed of their insignia, their unique logos that represent their company. And it doesn't make sense to anybody, and it seems like there can't be a justification for it because they've been approved by the county, and some of them have been in place for decades. So it's the what gives. You're the county administrator. I know you know. Help me understand.
Well, I don't know that they're all going to be scrubbed. You know, this is an effort to we are reviewing all of our logos and brand standards, and we just want to make sure we're consistent throughout the county. And that, you know, what goes on the front-facing side of a vehicle, whether it be a fire vehicle or a public works vehicle or EMS or anything else, we just want to make sure that it's in good taste and that it reflects the image that we want to portray. So it's something that's going to take place all throughout the county. We're reviewing all of our stuff. But, you know, to say that we're going to scrub every truck of everything, we're not saying that at all. But we review some logos. Yeah, sure, probably so.
Well, I was told that the trucks had been told to get rid of the logos.
Like
I had
told. Flag at this moment.
I'm sorry, Wes. I had been told that they had been taken off. Like they were told, get them off, and they were out there scraping off.
I didn't have a conversation until late yesterday afternoon, and that was not the direction. That they had to go out to the bays and start peeling off logos. That was not the direction.
Okay. So your direction.
Then I'll get into that this morning, but that was not the discussion I had late yesterday afternoon.
Okay, so your direction, properly understood, should have been, we're reviewing all of them, take no action yet?
Correct. Yeah, we're going to review them, and we're going to take a look at them. And some of them may, you know, the majority of them may stay like they are. There may be one or two that changes, but, you know, that's how it is.
So it sounds like kind of the way I had heard it was that this was an effort to get rid of the company patches and replace them with, say, something standard for the county logo. But it sounds like what you're saying is we're fine keeping the company patches as long as they are not, I mean, I'm guessing because you haven't, but I'm guessing, you know, we're just concerned about maybe some content or something offensive or something like that. But you're fine with having company patches. Do I hear you right?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So you'll talk about that. I mean, you'll talk about it, what, at the meeting today, or you talk with fire chief, or, you know, what's the next action step here?
No, we'll talk about it internally with the assistant county administrator and the public safety director and fire chief.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, I look forward to hearing more about what happens. I just know the firefighters are furious. They are furious.
Well, yeah, I understand. Hey, I understand. If I don't blame them, I probably will be too.
And then sort of not necessarily connected, but they've in the same post where they raised this question or this objection, they were also concerned about the pay increase that had been approved and HR stuff had been done, but the budget office hadn't caught up. And so they missed this or it's somehow delayed. Do you want to address that for a second?
Yeah, it's a bit delayed. Yeah, it'll be on the next paycheck. We'll try to make sure it's retro. It was a delay. It's coming through the budget office. We've been a lot of things rolling through there, so there was a bit of a delay.
Okay. Hey, just to go back for a second, somebody texted me, and again, this may have been a miscommunication, but texted me a screenshot of an email from Chief Harrison saying, effective immediately, all company patches shall be removed from all Escambia fire rescue apparatus. This action is mandatory, must be completed as soon as possible. If you can't remove the decal without causing damage, please email, give a name here, to schedule a time to have it removed. And so, again, you just think this is a misunderstanding? This is a miscommunication?
I think somebody's got the horse ahead of the cart, or the cart ahead of the horse, and we'll get into it this morning.
Okay, great. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes mistakes happen, and I'd love to see them fixed. Fantastic. On the agenda for today, and you and I had talked about this before, that there is I think it's called the Consolidated Universal Bill or something like that, and it would put hard costs only for code violation remediation for homes onto the property tax bill. And when you and I last talked about this, I was kind of uncomfortable. I talked with my wife, and you're going to love this. My wife says, so, Andrew, we're going to make them pay for the services the county has already provided to them as delinquent property owners on their tax bill. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, and the problem is, and I said, no, you're right. Is that the extent of this change? Is that the idea?
That is the extent of it, yeah. Just an effort to try to collect money that we've expended abating some of these properties.
And it's not the, like, because I know the board often has these conversations about soft costs and fees and fines and things like that. It's not that slice. It's just the hard cost, the money the county has actually expended to give a service to these people who haven't done their job properly.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. That makes a lot more sense. The Navy Point Ordinance makes perfect sense to me that you want to prohibit building on Navy Point Park and anywhere within the plat. Makes perfect sense to me that you want to prohibit conveying or selling the land. The one that I genuinely looks unconstitutional to me is the requirement to have a unanimous vote in the future. I always thought that a board now cannot bind a future board. They cannot exert their authority to restrict the future authority of a board. I checked with Allison, and she seems to think this is okay. Can you explain this to me, because I'm really confused by this one.
Yeah, well, it's an effort to preserve the park there. It's been well received by the community there in Navy Point. And the unanimous part is an effort to make a statement to say, hey, we want to protect this park. We want to, moving forward in the future, we want to preserve the sanctity and preserve the feel and the look and of the park and the amenities there. And what future boards do, we certainly can't control what future boards do, but it is an effort and a sign to say, hey, we're serious about this and we want to make sure that it remains as is.
I guess my
concern has been run through the legal department.
Yeah, and I know my concern was sort of the philosophical issue, but also it seems like if you can do this, is there any limit to when you could do it? Could they put a 3-2 vote up for a unanimous rescission for almost any measure they wanted to make more permanent? It seems like the answer has to be no, or even if you have a 3-person quorum, a 2-1 vote could theoretically do this. And so you kind of see where I'm going with this. What are the limits of this power to require a universal rescission or unanimous rescission?
Well, I think it's a good effort. That's a good statement to the community and as a whole to say, hey, we hear you, we hear your concerns, and we want to put this ordinance in place, and we want to make it as challenging as possible moving forward in the future to make any changes there at Navy Point.
There's a couple of items that have what seem like very minor changes to the current ordinance. One has to do with camping. It's removing the word overnight, and I'm assuming that's because verifying that somebody has in fact been there overnight in the car or the tent or the, or whatever is hard. This is meant to make it easier to enforce that ordinance. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, it's easier. To make it easier to enforce. Folks who are hanging out in different meetings or camping underneath the bridge overpasses there along the interstate in Brent Lane. They're there all night, then they're there all day. Some of them camping, sleeping, doing whatever they're doing. So this is an effort with the Sheriff's Department to be able to put something in place to make it more enforceable and hopefully make some improvements in that regard.
Makes perfect sense. Also, they could say, well, I left for a minute. Where was I there overnight? Sort of the technical difficulty of that word. The other one is the panhandling ordinance or the, pedestrian safety ordinance. The current is that a median 6 feet or under, they cannot stand on that. You're proposing expanding it to 8.5 feet. I'm guessing, but you tell me, that there are specific medians this is meant to encompass, and I'm guessing it's Davis on the on-ramp to I-10, but maybe it's something else that you have in mind. First of all, am I on the right track, and is there particular ones this is to address?
Well, we have medians all over the county that need to be addressed, but the 8.5 foot comes from the FDOT Green Book Standards, MUTCD Standard
Book,
8.5, and that's where that measurement comes from. It does give us a little more latitude in enforcing
Gotcha. Okay.
Some of the other ordinances there.
And that's totally your bailiwick. Like, that's, you know, transportation, roads and stuff. That is West Moreno's absolute domain. I did want to ask, just because it's come up with the sheriff, and I know you guys are working on this, but the situation in Perdido Key with the beach access and, you know, obviously, you know, the concerns, and it's an ongoing fight. And I know, you know, Commissioner Stroberger was in the mediation meeting that came to nothing. But the sheriff was telling me on Tuesday that, you know, it's hard for them to know what to enforce when nobody's clear about what the exact status of beach access is on Perdido Key. Any prospect of clarity in the near future?
Well, I think the latest development is the lawsuit has been dropped. You know, there was a lawsuit that prompted the mediation a couple of weeks ago. Well, that lawsuit has now been dropped this week, actually the day before yesterday, I think we were notified. So that's good news for us. So that what we feel like that means is that the strip going down from the parking areas, and then a strip 75 foot wide, 1.2 miles long, I think it is, is eligible for the public to utilize.
As of now?
You know, yes, as of now.
And that's from that beach access right off of Perdido Key Drive? That's that very first one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, so they can go out there
so
and then
like
they
it
can...
It's like, it was. It goes back, reverts back like it was when Commissioner Burgosh brought in water safety and we started patrolling that area down.
Yeah.
It'll be just like that.
Okay. Okay, so people are allowed to go laterally on the first 75 feet next to the water on those areas.
That's correct.
Outstanding. I mean, at least clarity. You know what I mean? I know a lot of the owners are not—they're not thinking outstanding. But you know what I want is just a resolution. So, wow, that's fantastic. I'm sorry, I seem like I kind of interrupted you. Anything else you wanted to say on that?
Nope, that's good.
Okay, fantastic. You guys did a ribbon cutting on a waterfront project.
Yeah, you know, we have a committee, Opioid Abatement Funding Advisory Committee, that we put together. And the money that comes through this committee and flows through Escambia County is from the lawsuits with the big pharmacies, big pharmaceutical pharmacies. And, you know, they've been quietly working and tolling away there. And we put notice of funding opportunities out to our community partners and those throughout the community. They bring in their ideas. They bring in their plans. They bring in their credentials and all the stuff they have to do. And Waterfront brought a project to us to purchase a house, or houses, actually, as it turns out, and then renovate the house and turn it into housing for men in recovery. And we cut a ribbon on that, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And it was just a good deal, a good event to see that the fruition of the money and the work of the board come to fruition and see that amenity come online. And I think in a couple, 2 weeks, I think they said it was, there'll be folks living there. And it's key. It's a key element to recovery, having a stable place to live.
Absolutely.
There's a church down the block. There's George Stone not too far from it. So there's some opportunities there for the folks that they're going to reside there in those houses. And it was actually two houses on one piece of property, a good-sized piece of property. And I think it's a good thing for the community, and it's something that quietly happens behind the scenes that the community doesn't typically see.
You know, I actually really love when we're able to tell the good things. I love talking about the opioid abatement work that y'all are doing through CORE. And, you know, even sometimes it's a little stuff, like when the county does a drainage project that makes life better, you know, on a street near us, on Oakfield. You know, I was worried in the beginning, but that street has not flooded since we've had the work done. So it's fantastic. And like, you know, I talked to the county about a pothole on Burgess, and it's an FDOT road. So somebody in the county called FDOT, FDOT fixed it within 24 hours. Like, I was amazed at how fast that was. So, you know, the good things, I'll talk about the bad things, but we'll talk about the good things, too, and, you know, the more of them are better. Anything else before we go, Wes? Anything else you want to let us know about either for the meeting or that the county's doing?
Well, we had an interesting story in regards to the SEC tournament. One of the teams got through playing the other night, and a drive belt broke on their bus. They were trying to get back to Pensacola Beach after the game, and four of our parks guys were able to crawl under there, and the driver had a belt. He just couldn't get it on. So they were able to crawl under there in about 20 minutes, get the team on its way to Pensacola Beach, and All things went well. So it's just the small things
Nice.
that you encounter in a day sometimes.
Beachfront living, competitive soccer, and on-the-spot mechanical repair to buses. That's we offer all
there
the
you go.
Services. Well, Wes Moreno, we're looking forward to the meeting today. It should be very interesting. County Administrator Wes Moreno, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for taking some of my challenging questions. I really appreciate it. So we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right. We'll see you.